Hey, folks, it's Eric the Freedom Screamer. It's Saturday morning. I thought I'd check in with everybody. Appreciate you all being out there and listening to this blog, this audio blog. Very informal. I do this from a flip-top phone on a farm in upstate New York. I'm pacing the floor of a barn right now that was converted into a carriage house. The barn was built in 1794 and converted in the 1980s into a living space with bathrooms and kitchen and all that. So this is very informal. I'm not sitting in front of a computer. There's no cameras pointing at my face so everybody can see how good or bad I look. There's just me talking with you about important information. So here's where I stand. So we know that in New York State, it's illegal to wear a mask under Section 240.35. That's 240.35, subparagraph 4. So 240.35. Parentheses 4. And it says it prohibits being masked or having any unusual or unnatural facial attire or alterations. And that's really clear. There's no provision for this or that. There's no amendment or suspension or change in that. So we have the law which says that you can't not wear a mask. And then the governor coming out and saying, I order you to wear a mask. So we have a very interesting situation where no law has been passed requiring a mask. These are just suggestions from the CEO of the state of New York, Julius Cuomo, who is nothing more than the CEO of McDonald's with a gun, because he does not represent a government. He has assumed the power and the function of government, but legally since 1925, New York State has been a corporation. So do you take orders from the CEO of McDonald's? No. Don't take orders from the CEO of New York. His orders only pertain to his employees. I'm not an employee. Here's where they get you. Da-da-da, the word citizen. So I had a very interesting call into a radio show, WBEN, yesterday, the Tom Bowerly Show. I thought I'd call in and share some information with the local media guys. I do this occasionally a couple times a week. I like to call WBEN, Tom Bowerly. Sandy Beach in the morning is very open-minded and allows me plenty of time to make my points. So does Dan Ray on Nightside out of Boston, AM 1030 WBZ. So I made this point in this call. I said, you know, they get you on the word citizen. Here's the definition. It's a legally recognized subject. Where do we go from there? I don't want to be a subject. So if I declare that I'm a citizen or admit or consent or concede, it, you know, say that I'm a citizen, yes, I admit, then I'm a legally recognized subject. So I made this point to Tom Bowerly, and he said, well, when you get into court, you know, there's legal definitions that are sometimes different from the dictionary definitions. I said, yes, I do realize that. There is that Masonic warping of the language. They like to take the meanings of the word and change them. And he didn't give me the time to respond with the legal definition and break it all open. He said, well, I understand it. Great. Thanks for the call. And he sounded kind of confused when he hung up. I could tell that I had just gotten through the veil had been lifted. Some paradigms were being shattered, and they should be. Paradigms are usually a rut, something you're stuck in believing that's not true. Paradigms are usually lies that people believe. So I gently, you know, said, you know, here's the word citizen. It means subject. I don't want to be a subject. So I'm going to declare myself, assert myself as an American national. So he didn't allow me quite enough time to get the legal definition. So I went and made sure I brushed up on him. And this is good, because if he hadn't challenged me, or I don't want to use the word disagree, because he didn't disagree. He just said, you know, there's more to the picture. The dictionary definition doesn't always count. Huh? Oh, really? We're gonna make up our own words, are we? We're going to let lawyers take dictionary definitions and then change them to suit their wallet? Yeah. Or their control freak agenda? I don't think so. So, but it's good that I was challenged and you know, on that. And so I figured, okay, next time I call in, we're going to talk about the legal definition of the word citizen. We got the dictionary definition. Citizen is a legally recognized subject. That's what you are under a king or queen, a subject. You don't ever want to be no subject. So I opened up the legal dictionary, legaldictionary.com, Black's Law, several different sources. So here's the legal definition of citizen. It's even worse. It makes my point even stronger, even more visibly and solidly. Okay, so legally, when you go into court, they define a citizen as this: a member of a political community owing allegiance to that political community. Oh, joy. Let's break that one down. A member, number one. I ain't no stinking member of something I didn't sign up for. Because I was born on the land here in America doesn't make me a member of anybody's stinking political community. I'll choose which member of which political community or not that I want to be involved with. So, a member, now, by the way, if you're a member of something, don't you have to sign up? Aren't I allowed to quit? I'm resigning my membership. Boop. See ya. Bye-bye. Da-da-da-da. So long. Farewell. I ain't no stinking member of your idiot political community. Take your membership and stick it. Take my membership and stick it. Bye. I'm not no stinking member of any stinking political community. And I would highly recommend that people out there also not be a member of any political community forced upon you by the stupid word citizen. So, a member of a political community. Whose political community? Which one? What? I'll be a political community when I want to be. Right now, I'm not no political community. I'm a freedom fighter. So, a member of a political community, member that I don't want to be a member of, a political, whatever, politics, I don't want to be involved with somebody else's unless they're all about freedom, and then politics is very minimal. Community, political community, C-O-M-M-U-N, commune. There's your communist word. Okay, so great. We got a membership that I don't want. We got politics that aren't mine. We've got a communist community that I don't want to be in. I live in a neighborhood, a town, around people I love. I'm not no stinking member of a political community. Oh, and the second half, owing allegiance to that political community. Oh, joy. Put some teeth in it. I owe you something. How you creep, corrupt, disgusting, order-giving, filthy, rancid politicians are going to order me what to do. I'm going to owe allegiance to the a-holes like Julius Cuomo and company. And I don't appreciate Mr. Trump ragging at the governor of Georgia about reopening and how bad it was going to be and how horrible a decision it was. And I really think it's irresponsible of the governor of Georgia to open up. We got to get back, but we can't open up and take any risky chance. He tore the governor of Georgia a new a-hole after lying to people and saying, I'm leaving it up to the governors. Oh, yeah, great. Trump left it up to the governors who were killing us, who were being totalitarian nightmares to us. But we're not going to leave it up to the governors when it's time to reopen. And get back. Yeah, we got to get back. We all got to get back. Get back, everybody. Get back. We all got to get back. Got to get back to work. Got to get back. Notice how he keeps saying you've got to get back. Back off. Get out. Okay, he doesn't say every... And then he'll throw in one word, back to work. But it's always got to get back. We got to get back. We got to get back. It's an idiotic, mentally ill way of communicating with, and I don't think it's mentally ill. I think it's by design. He's saying these things. How about the war mentality? Saying things to precondition people to accept getting back, not getting back to work. Get back. When I say get back, that's usually what I say to my dog if he's too close to somebody that's elderly, you know, and he's of course wagging his tail and wants to be pet. His dog's not vicious. But when I talk to my dog, I usually say get back. Okay, I don't tell, you know, or somebody's in my face threatening me, hey, get back. Getting back is not something you do unless it's back to work. And Trump very rarely says back to work. He'll say, gotta get back. Hey, back, gotta get back, gotta get back to work, gotta get back. So these are brainwashing techniques. I don't appreciate President Trump ragging at the governor of Georgia for reopening. You want to know why he did that? Why he was so scared and so angry that the governor of Georgia was going to say, hey, okay, you're going to leave it to us? We're good. Let's open up. Because once everything opened up in Georgia and Wisconsin and Florida and some other states that are opening back up, and people see that, oh my God, there's thousands of people on the beach, there's thousands of people walking their dogs, there's thousands of people shaking hands, There's thousands of people playing volleyball. There's thousands of people hugging and kissing. And guess what? Everything's fine. Nobody's dropping dead in the streets. Nobody's bleeding out of every orifice. There's no zombie apocalypse. Although they like to think there is one, and that's why they ran those zombie movies and The Walking Dead and all this other crap to get you all comfortable with the fact that it's going to be a giant pandemic nightmare and there's going to be sick people walking the streets everywhere looking for food. Oh, how convenient. Now there's actually sick people everywhere walking the streets looking for food. No joke. People in Buffalo are going through dumpsters to look for food. They're begging the mayor to get more food to them, and he can't do it. He says he's in tears, I'll bet. So it's not good out there. So do I want to be a city Zen? Defined by the dictionary as a legally recognized subject of some king or queen? Do I want to be a citizen defined in the legal departments, in the courts, as a member of a political community owing allegiance to that political community? I think not. Take your member, take your political, take your community, take your allegiance, and you know where to stick it. So that's not for me, is it for you? Do you want to be a subject? Do you want to be do you want to be ignorant of what words mean? And this was a slam dunk. The citizen in both the dictionary definition and the legal definition both mean a subject, a member owing allegiance to corrupt politicians. Oh joy. So we have the unhappy situation of another military flyover today. The name of the unit that's flying over is out of the War Museum. It's called Whiskey 247, T-51 Mets Mustangs that flew the second wave of air cover over D-Day, successfully leaving every German bunker, machine gun nest, artillery position, you name it, completely untouched. How does that happen? The beach is so easy to see. It's wide open. There's no freaking trees. There's a straight line running under you that separates the water from the land. You cannot miss it. You could be half in the bag drunk and not miss the targets that were completely untouched when our soldiers hit D-Day. Why? Because the shot callers that run the nations and run the militaries and are not the president and not the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they all belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. And the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, and its earlier equivalents, are the ones calling the shots. There may not have been a CFR in World War II formally. I can assure you there was people acting as the CFR during World War II calling the shots. It happened during the Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam. It happened during the Cuban crisis under Kennedy. It happens throughout history. I'm going to take a break here for 1 second. Hold with me. So, why, how, for what bizarre purpose were the beaches at Normandy left virtually unscathed to destroy our landing forces? Because wars are not natural. 99% of war is orchestrated. International events can be mitigated, changed, altered by some very powerful people in the banking establishment and the church and the intelligence communities that work for these governments and churches and corporations. And the war is designed for one thing, the main thing, two main goals. This is the goal of the globalists who orchestrate these wars. Number one is to get rid of as many patriotic fighting people that will stand for their nation, for their country, that will defend their country against enemies foreign and domestic, that will resist an international or internal communist takeover. Those patriot, gun-owning, warrior class type, and I mean warrior in a good way. I don't mean some blind, murdering, killer lunatic who loves to kill and shoot people. So he goes overseas and get orders to do it and then comes back and joins the ranks of the state police. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the good warrior, the patriot, the man who stood at Lexington and Concord, and woman who stood and standed for freedom in the Revolutionary War and other just battles that we fought along the way. Civil War was very sketchy, and we can open that up another time. There was good and bad on both sides. So The war has two purposes. Number one is to thin the ranks of patriots who would defend their nation against an internal takeover, like we're seeing right now. And the second is to basic population reduction. You know how many millions of people get killed in a war? The globalists love that. Prince Philip, one of the most powerful members of the British crown, one of the most powerful men in the world, one of the wealthiest men in the world, one of the largest landowners in the world, including land in the United States of America, Prince Philip of England, made the following statement regarding population and population control. He said, "In the event that I am reincarnated, I wish to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to overpopulation." Isn't that lovely? So, get rid of the patriots, thin the population, of course, create strife, create another opportunity for the bankers to take control, destroy a country which requires rebuilding, so all the giant construction corporations get their contract and get their piece of the pie. The oil companies make money. The military suppliers make a fortune. A lot of reasons to have war that have nothing to do with the real enemy. The enemy is within. So on that, I'm going to check out with you. So I apologize to everybody out there for what we've allowed to happen in New York, because this is what's coming for everybody. The army of tracers that Cuomo created with money from Trump and spearheaded by Bloomberg. How's that for the triad of evil? Trump, Cuomo, and Bloomberg all working together with an army of tracers. Trump is now using the military under what's called Operation Warp Speed. Going to have the military dispensing vaccines. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? A convoy coming down the street with a bunch of idiotic soldiers carrying needles, sticking everybody they can, claiming it's for public safety and public health. So, people, it's going to get real clear pretty soon which side, you know, there's going to be sides developing here. Which side are you on? If you wallow in the middle, you're automatically with the enemy, because they're going to suck you in through fear or force. Stay with the freedom people. Stay with us. Keep in touch. Let us know what your experience is at courtroomwatch@gmail.com. And send us an email and let us know what the situation is in your neck of the woods. So we're going to sign off and we'll check in probably later today, depending on how it goes here with the weather. Farming and good weather go hand in hand. So if it's nice today, I'll probably be growing the food, because this winter may be a little lean on food supply. This ripple in the food chain is going to be slow, and it's going to work its way out into the fall and winter. I mean, I hope it doesn't, but we have to be prepared for the fact that it might. We've already experienced empty shelves, dumping of milk, dumping of crops. Oh, there's no middleman to take the food from the farm down the street to Wegmans or Dollar General, where the food gets sold. Are you kidding me? We don't have cars and vans and trucks. We can run the food from the farm, put it in a freaking bag, and sell it on the shelf at the local store. Oh, no, we can't. Got to go with the middle man. We got to go with the supply chain. Got to have the Department of Agriculture and Markets approve everything. You're going to wind up starving to death if you wait for that one. So get on your own. Get independent. Start thinking for yourself first. Don't submit to the fear. Get your own food supply going, even if it's a couple of 5-gallon buckets with holes drilled in the bottom. Fill them up with dirt, something fluffy, not too muddy, and grow your kale and your tomatoes and stuff right out on your little balcony. Even if you're in a high rise, you can do this. They make some interesting apartment-sized grow units that you can produce your own food right on a little balcony. You know, don't have to have no giant farm with a lot of acres, although you can pick up a piece of land cheap anywhere. Anytime. So you just have to pray on it and be willing to do it. The good Lord brought me here to this beautiful place, 50 acres on a farm, plenty of food. Everybody's armed in this whole county. Everybody's on the same page. Nobody trusts the government. It's about as good as you're going to get. It's real people, and it's real living. So join the freedom fight, people. Get yourself independent. Get your own food supply. Get a way to defend yourself, and don't submit to the fear. The government's going to try to scare you. The health departments are going to try to scare you. They're going to try to scare you first. They're going to try to force you second, and they're going to give up when they find that you're not playing along. So you're not a citizen. You're an American or an American national. You have no contract with any agents of the state, and leave it at that. keep it simple, keep it direct, don't consent to anything they're doing, and don't submit to the fear. Thanks, folks. We'll talk to you soon.